Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Yud Chet Amud Aleph, that's 18a, and we are about two-thirds of the way down. We're going to start three lines up in the narrow lines. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. So we are continuing our discussion of the permissibility of cutting one's nails on Chol HaMoed and cutting one's nails when they are an avel, a mourner during Shiva. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Zug ba mechamtan, a pair of Torah scholars came from Chama, or a place called Chamtan, lifnei Rebbe. They came to Rebbe. Umarzutra matani zug ba mechamtan lifnei Rebbe. And Marzutra learned it as a Mishnah rather than as a direct report from Rav Yehuda. Ubikshu mimenu, and they requested from him, tzipornayim, is it permitted to cut one's fingernails on Chol HaMoed? Vehiter lahem, and he permitted them, and that is, as we've seen, the general halacha. Then it says an odd thing, v'im bikshu mimenu, had they requested from him, safa, the ability to shave their upper lips, their mustaches, hitir lahem, he would have permitted it to them. So it's unclear how you would know this, meaning if they didn't ask the question, how do you know what the answer is? So it's possible that in their discussion about cutting nails, they also talked about cutting hair and other things related to Chol HaMoed, and perhaps one who listened to the whole discussion could see which way Rabbi Yehuda felt. Or perhaps, as we'll see here, Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, Af bikshu mimenu safa vihitir. He actually did request whether or not they could cut the hair on their lips, their mustaches, vihitir, and he did permit them. So we don't have to wonder, according to this version, according to Shmuel's version, they got a kula in both cases. They were given permission to trim their fingernails and to trim their mustaches. Second wide line, Amar Avitul Safra. We have a report in the name of this guy, Avitul, who is Safra. So we always have this problem. We'll see it again, actually, in this recording, whether or not Safra means a scribe or Sapara means a barber. Because we're dealing with trimming hair, it could be that he's a barber. On the other hand, it would seem like if he was a Talmud Chacham, perhaps he was a scribe. So, and we're going to have three teachings in his name. This is the first one, and then the other two are unrelated to our topic at hand, but we bundle them together. Amar Avitul Safra, Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav. The girsa that has Rav Papa here seems to be a mistaken girsa, so it's put in parentheses and we don't read it. So Avitul Safra said in the name of Rav, Safa, what does it mean that they could trim their mustaches on their, what does it mean, lip? Mizavit lizavit, from the corner of one's mouth to the corner of one's mouth. So from corner to corner all along your upper lip, that's where you can trim. That would seem to be excluding hair that is kind of on your cheeks, just to the side of your mouth. Those cheek hairs sometimes also, as we'll see, the issue with mustache hairs is they get in your mouth and they make it annoying to eat. So sometimes the hairs on the side of your mouth also get in the way, but the question was limited to the hair, it seems to be, on the top of the lip. Now there is another girsa, the some Rishonim have in here, dealing with the question of hanacha, where it has a girsa in here that says that the hanacha is permitted to shave. That girsa seems to be not in the standard version. Some of the Rishonim seem to report that's there. Rashi eliminates it because he doesn't know how it would fit into the text, and we don't have it in our text, so I'm just going to skip it. Amar Rav Ami. Rav Ami comes to modify the teaching of Rav that was reported by Avitul Safra, and he says, Uvesafa hameakevet, regarding the lip, it's that which prevents you from eating. Now, Rav Ami's ruling seems to have both a chumra and a kula. On the one hand, he's modifying it, not necessarily mizavit lezavit. It's any place on your lip that would prevent you from eating. So perhaps it might even include some area on the sides of your mouth. That's the kula. On the other hand, there's a chumra, which is that it only refers to mustache hair that prevents you from eating or that's annoying when you're eating. If your mustache hair does not impede your eating, then you would not be able to cut it off on Chol HaMoed. It seems like the Shulchan Aruch related to Chol HaMoed paskins like Rav Ami. He says that you can cut your mustache hairs on the whole top of your mouth, but he seems to indicate also only if it impedes your eating. That's how the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. Regarding Avilut, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is that a mourner during Shiva should not cut their mustache hair, but after Shiva, if it bothers them, if it impedes their eating, then they are permitted to shave it. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, here's another possible cooler. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Lididi, to me, kisafa me'akevet damili. Any place on my lip is, any hair on my lip is to me considered to be me'akevet. That is, he was kind of a little bit of an istinus about it, and the hair, it was bothersome to him to have any hair on his lip. So perhaps in that situation, if you were to hold that way, as long as a person says that it's me'akevet, which doesn't necessarily mean that you cannot eat without it, it just means that it's annoying for you, that it's to some degree a subjective category, but that it is, if it is bothersome to you, are you allowed to shave it off? Okay, since we were dealing with Avi Tzvil HaSafra, we bring two agadic comments that he mentions as well. The Amar Avi Tzvil Safra, we're on the fourth line down in the wide lines. Mishmei de Rav, in the name of Rav, again we skip the word Papa here. Paro Shahaya Bimei Moshe, the Paro, see Paro was the name of a title, the Pharaoh, so there were different Pharaohs, but this particular Pharaoh, Shahaya Bimei Moshe, who was Moshe's antagonist, the one who to whom the plagues happened, Hu Ama, he was an Amatal. That is a very short height for a person, especially a leader. Uzakano Ama, and his beard was an Ama long. So his beard was as tall as he was. So I'm not sure if the beard is a luxurious beard. If you've seen statues of pharaohs, they have these long, curly beards that could come down to a point, or if it was meant to make him look ridiculous that his beard was as tall as he was. Uparmashtako ama vezeret, and his parmashtak was an ama and a half. So the largest part of him was his parmashtak, which seems to be some kind of a Persian word for one's member. So this is an odd l'kayem mashen amar. This approach of Paro, that he was one amma tall, his beard was an amma, and his member was an amma and a half, expresses what is said in Daniel chapter Dalet, Pasuk Yudalet, Ushval Anashim Yekim Allah. This is speaking about Hashem. Now, you might read this Pasuk as Hashem rules even over the Shval Anashim, the lowest of men, but the Gemara reads it the opposite way, that Ushfal Anashim, the lowest of men, he sometimes puts over the world. In other words, he makes a person who is a Shfal Ish in charge. In other words, this is a very insulting teaching related to Paro. He was a Shfal Ish. He was short, and so he was in that way, you know, insignificant in size. I like the interpretation of the ones that I looked at. I like the interpretation that they brought in the art scroll. They have a footnote 32 in the Art Scroll in 18a3 quotes Habone in Ein Yaakov, and he says that the fact that he was an Amatal symbolizes that he was a lowly, despised man. The equivalence between the length of his beard and his height signifies that his lowliness of stature was matched by his vanity, that his beard represented his vanity. And the fact that both measurements are exceeded by the length of his sexual member demonstrates that that the largest thing about him was his lust, and that of all the things, most of the things about him were lowly. The only thing that was outsized, that was really large about him, was his lustiness. Okay, so that is also a teaching of Avi Tzvil Safra, and Avi Tzvil Safra includes an additional teaching about Paro. V'amar Avi Tzvil Safra, Mishmei Derav, Paro Shahaya Bimei Moshe, the Paro who was in the times of Moshe, Amagushi Haya, he was a magician. That word Amagushi refers to some kind of a magus or a mage, which probably refers to a Persian wizard who were workers of wonders and dream interpreters, related to the word magus. So Amagushi, he was an Amagushi. Shenemar, as it says, Hine Yotze HaMaima, the first time that Aaron and Moshe are told to go see Paro, he's out by the river. So this is referring to a sugya that's found in Masechet Shabbat, Ayin Hei, in which there is a dispute as to whether Paro considered himself to be a magician, and he felt that he had power over the Nile, and so he would go out to the river in order to work his power over the Nile, or whether Paro thought he was a god, which was true of some of the Egyptian pharaohs. They compared themselves to God, and that he was in fact a god equivalent to or superior to the Nile, which was given its own divinity in Egyptian life. And so he went out to the river either to if he was a god, to conceal his humanity, which is what they teach all the kids in school, so that when he would urinate in private. But that's not how Rashi says it. Rashi says he would go out to say, Li Ya'uri, the Nile is mine, Va'ani Asitani, and I made it, as I'm the god of all of creation, so to speak. Or if he was a magus, that he went out to practice his arcane arts at the river. So those are the teachings of Avi Tzvul Safra, and that brings us to the end of the discussion of hair cutting and nail cutting. We'll do a little more in this recording. We're 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. We return to our Mishnah. And the next topic after hair cutting, and our Mishnah is a similar topic, Ve'elu mechabsin b'moed. These are the people who are permitted to launder their clothing during Chol HaMoed. And the list is quite a similar list. Those who come from abroad and only arrive on Chol HaMoed, those who were in jail or were imprisoned, etc., etc. The same kinds of people who were unable to wash their clothes before the holiday. So since they were unable to wash their clothes before the holiday, the rabbis give them a dispensation to wash them on the holiday, because the whole concept of not washing them on the holiday was just to punish those people who couldn't get around to making themselves look nice and have clean clothes and have nice haircuts before Yontif. So since these people were unable to do that, we release them from that restriction. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he brings up a case that's not mentioned in our Mishnah. And we've seen this case already. We saw this case on, I think it was on Tet Vav Amud Aleph, 15a, we saw this case. Misha ein lo ela chalok echad, a person who only has one outfit, so a poor person may have only one set of clothes to wear. Mutar lechabso b'chulo shel moed, it's permitted for him to launder that on Chol HaMoed. Mitziv Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya asks, Eilu mechabsin b'moed. But it says in our Mishnah, these are the ones who are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Haba m'dinas hayam, the one who comes from abroad, the one who is in jail, etc., etc. Hanein, these guys, the ones who are mentioned in the Mishnah, are permitted, yes. Hanei, these, in, yes, they can launder their clothes on Chol HaMoed. Misha ein lo ela chalok echad, but one who only has one outfit, has one cloak, lo, he's not allowed to. If he was allowed to, it would have been mentioned in our Mishnah. That's what we're saying. Now, the truth is that even if someone did launder their one piece of clothing, after a couple days, it might need to get laundered again. I don't know how often they laundered them, but it could have gotten dirty again over Yontif, and maybe he wanted to have clean clothes for the rest of the holiday, let's say for the second days of Yontif. He wanted to have clean clothes. He would want to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, and since he only had one cloak, it's not if he was exactly negligent in getting ready for the holiday. He did the best he could. So it would seem like he might be open for such a dispensation. So the Gemara answers as follows. Amar le Rav Yaakov Rav Yirmiya, Azbra lecha masnisin. I will explain our Mishnah. Af agav de'it le tre umetanfe. Our Mishnah refers to even when a person, even though afagav, even though de'itle, that he has trey, two outfits of clothing, umetanfe, and they got dirty. In other words, our Mishnah is not dealing with a case of a person who only has one outfit. It's dealing with people that have multiple outfits, at least two or more, but because of their unique circumstances, that they were coming from Medinat Hayam or they were in jail, in those situations, they're allowed to launder their clothes. But are the context of the Mishnah is only dealing with people that have multiple clothes. In a context in which a person only has one outfit, that is does not apply to the situation. This is how Tosfos explains it, and Tosfos contrasts this situation with the situation with an Avel who is not able to launder his clothes for different reasons. So Tosfos argues that even in a situation where he only has chalok echad, one outfit of clothing, he still wouldn't be able to launder that as an Avel because the reasons are different. Having clean, because an Avel is not even allowed to wear cleanly, freshly laundered clothes. Because it is that's a focus on beautifying himself when he should be focusing on his avelut. Okay, we are two lines up from the bottom. Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Giuri mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Giuri sent a written request to Rabbi Yochanan, asking about the following case. Last line: Klei pishtan mutar lechabsan b'chulo shamoed. He sent him this this theory or this suggestion. that, not a suggestion. He sent him a psak. He sent a psak of Rabbi Yochanan that said the following: Klei pishtan, linen clothes, mutar lechabsan b'chulo shel moed. It is permitted to launder them on chol moed. What's the reason for this? One of two possibilities. Rashi here mentions that the reason is because, where is that Rashi? I did see that Rashi. Well, the Rashi in the Kitvei Yad brings two possible reasons. He says one is that mizdahem tvei, they become dirty very quickly. So even if you had laundered linen clothing before Yontif, it could easily have gotten dirty again, and so you would have to launder it again. But you wouldn't be subject to the penalty because it gets dirty so quickly. And the other reason is vilepe tircha, that it doesn't have tircha. And since one of the major reasons why you can't do malacha or work, certain kinds of work on Chol HaMoed, has to do with tircha, since it's very little tircha to do it, they would permit klei pishtan as well. As a matter of halacha, it seems like the Ikar Hadin agrees with this, that klei pishtan can be laundered on Chol HaMoed. However, the Shulchan Aruch says that it is the minhag not to do that, and one should not violate the minhag, that we have a minhag not to do it. There's only certain cases where it might be used as a tzad heter. For instance, in a situation where a person has two outfits, but one of them got, or both of them got dirty, and so really only when you only have one outfit is when you're supposed to be mutter, when it's supposed to be mutter. You have two outfits, but they're both dirty. If one of them is klei pishtan, then the poskim would say that you could be lenient because you're using it as a tzad heter. But the minhag is not to do, not to launder linen clothes, even though Meikar Adin you could. Metziv Rava. Rava asked, mitpachot hayadayim, mitpachot hasaparim. Now we flip the page to Yudchen Amud Bet. So mitpachot hayadayim are hand towels. Mitpachot hasaparim are the towels that bookbinders use. And those are both towels that get frequent use and they become very dirty quickly. And so they have to be laundered frequently. And of course, some people read, as when we were mentioning, instead of saparim, instead of the towels of, not bookbinders, I'm sorry, the towels of barbers, saparim, are barbers that get dirty with hair quickly after they use them. They have to, they're like gym towels, they have to keep laundering them frequently. Some people, of course, read them as not saparim, not barbers, but sfarim, as the towels that bookbinders use, but that's the minority opinion. Hanein, so the Mishnah mentions those examples, so it seems to say these cases, hand towels and the towels of barbers, in, they can be laundered on Chol HaMoed, klei pishtan lo. But linen clothes, it doesn't say anything about linen clothes in the Mishnah, and if linen clothes were really one of the exceptions, why doesn't the Mishnah mention it? Amar le Abaye, so Abaye gives one answer. Matnitin, our Mishnah, Avilu de Sharmine, because our Mishnah is not talking about linen clothes. Our Mishnah is talking about all sorts of different clothes. And since they're all different kinds of clothes, it doesn't have to specify, the context of it is not linen clothes. But linen clothes would be permitted even without these other circumstances. I think that's a little bit of a weak answer because it could easily have added them to the list. Omar Bar Hedya said, Lididi, to me, Chazili Yamashel Taveria. I personally saw by the Sea of Galilee in Taveria, Demafgile, that they brought out, Meshichle Demane, baskets of clothing, Kitna, that were made of flax, that is linen clothes, Bechula Dumoada, on Chol HaMoed. In other words, he said, I saw that they were doing laundry in linen clothes on Chol HaMoed in Tveria. So that seems like an example that was the common practice. However, Matifla Abaye attacks this reasoning and says, Man Lemalan de Britzon Chachamim Avdi. How do you know that they were doing this with the blessing or according to the will of the sages? Dilma, perhaps, Shelo Britzon Chachamim Avdi. Perhaps they were doing it without proper permission. In other words, not every Jew and not every action that people take is done with the blessing of the Chachamim. Sometimes people would do things that were not so kosher. There are lots of people that do things that are not so kosher. Unless you see someone who is a Tzur B'Marabanan or is a recognized scholar who's doing something, you can't really know for sure whether or not it's really mutter. You can't always judge halachic practice by what Jews you know do. So that takes us all the way to the next Mishnah. We will start dealing with the topic of writing on Chol HaMoed in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.